Corin. She's an assistant professor at the University of Massachusetts, teaching pediatric content in undergraduate nursing. She's also taught pediatrics at Hebrew University in Israel and served as the quality assurance coordinator for the MCH Preventive Services in the Central District of Israel. She's going to talk about back to sleep. What did we forget?
Good late morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to present today. You should see the speaker. And I'm very honored to be a part of this wonderful group about lesson learned in maternal and child health. So this presentation is named Back to Sleep Campaign, What Did It Forget? And before I start, I just want to acknowledge my colleagues, Dr. Susan Reese, and who is a nursing professor at the same department I teach, and Linda Cahandi-Angelo, who is a professor from physiotherapy. I don't have any disclosure. So the goals of this presentation is first to be able to identify changes in infant development, milestones, and head shaping since the implementation of the Back to Sleep campaign. And also to recognize the importance of parental education about positioning infants during sleep and awake times. Just a little background and significance. As you all know, in 1994, the American Academy of Pediatrics established the Back to Sleep campaign. This is one of the biggest and successful campaigns in public health and health promotion in the United States and in the world. And actually, the accomplishment is that since it was implementing, it reduced by 50% the cases in sudden infant death since. Along with this success, research has shown that there are some effects, side effects I can call it, to this campaign on infant development and head deformities. Research has shown that since the implementation, we see major motor milestones that were developed later. The thought is that that campaign actually did interfere with gross motor function. Also, the sleep position and the awake position that follows it did decrease activity levels and have recently led to increase in abnormalities in head shape, such as plagiocephaly and brachycephaly. And that's actually a skewness and occipital flattening, if somebody doesn't know the terms. Just an example of a study that was conducted 2004 by Hutchinson and et al. A longitudinal study of 200 infants, and they saw that the prevalence of deformities at 6 weeks was 16%, at 4 months was 19.7%, and overall presented 29.5% of the infants out of those 200. And the concern was actually when they asked, you know, what position was the infant most of the time, infant that spent an average of 19 hours in supine position, you know, were those infants at high risk of those deformities. And, you know, 19 hours sounds a lot for a walking person, but for infants, it's, you know, they sleep most of the time at first. In a prospective study of 380 healthy infants conducted by Vermeeren et al. In 2007, and this is like new data, infants were examined at 7 weeks and at birth in 7 weeks, and 22% had skull deformities. Also, the risk factor that were noted to this are the placement of tummy time on their tummy during daytime, less than 3 times per day, and parental education that was lower, birth order, firstborn, male gender, and bottle feeding, especially feeding only on the same side. Okay. Also, the study noted that later achievement of motor milestones was associated with head deformities. So there is a relationship. there is a fear that parents expressed in a research, a previous research that actually just started not long time ago after the implementation, is that parents, due to the emphasis on back to sleep, were afraid to place their infants on their tummy in awake time. So the research goal for our research was first to discern parental understanding and behaviors and provider practices relative to infant positioning, you know, in the light of back to sleep campaign. And it was a mixed method exploratory study. So talking about mixed method, we had different sources of information. First, mothers on a postpartum unit, pediatric providers, and internet websites. I just must comment that this is only preliminary result of a much more extended study. So this just came up with the first analysis, so we thought it would be very important to present. Okay, so the maternal sample included 119 mothers of healthy newborn in an urban hospital in the Northeast between March and July. Just a little information about the sample. We had 55% white, 73% average income, distribution of education you can see here, 34% had college education. The marital status was that 65% were married and living with the father. The delivery was 47% vaginal and 50% already breastfeed exclusively at the hospital. Then we had the provider samples. The provider sample came from an inner city health center, community health center, pediatric clinic. That clinic does actually serve the same group of mothers, a large percentage of those mothers. So we thought that would be interesting to compare. They included 3 MDs, 1 NP, 2 RNs, and 3 LPNs. And then the internet sample, what we did is 2 searches actually. We looked at official websites, what they say about tummy time, and we just looked at parental websites. And as you know, Google, what comes up first are the most viewed sites. So the instrument we used, first when we just recruited the mother, we used like a questionnaire. We had a research student that helped us collect information. And then at time 2, that was when the infant was 2 months old, we had a phone interview. All the mothers signed a consent and approval from the university and hospital IRB. The providers, and that's the mixed method, they did participate in a 1-hour focus group in parental instructions and behavior about infant positioning. And the internet sites I just explained before. So let's go to the results. So first we'll present some of the results from the survey, first the baseline survey at the hospital. We questioned the mothers. So when we asked first about if they ever received an instruction about infant positioning while the infant is asleep, you can see here that a very high percentage actually did receive information, and that does support the success of the campaign of back to sleep. You know, there is some confusion between back and side, and that's known in the literature. What about awake time? What they said is that 45% did not receive any information. You should realize that by the time we interviewed those mothers, they were about to go home. So there was not a lot of time left to give information before they go home, and there's a big gap between the time she comes home to the time she sees some health professional out in the community. 15% only had some information about tummy time. The information source that we asked about, and it's not surprising, the nurses on the maternity floor, pediatricians, but you can see media also has some, this does not add up to 100% because they can answer several, they had several options to give an answer. But you can see that there's a lot of information that is based on previous experience and other children they had before. Moving on to the 2 months telephone survey, we asked a lot of other questions. One of the questions I'm presenting here is about when your baby is awake or asleep, what position do you put him or her most of the time? So that's what the question answer was regarding awake time that was reported. So when the infant is awake, most of the time he's going to be almost 80% on the back. Very low percent is going to be on the tummy. Asleep, while the infant is asleep, the practices were 70% on the back, and this actually does match exactly the results of surveys done on the success of Back to Sleep campaign. We asked also about times per day they practice tummy time, those who were practicing. And this is important because previous research that I presented in the introduction does associate the number of time and the length of time to head deformities. And you can see here that the main group is actually around 1 to 2 times, which are, this is a very low number. This talks about per time, how many minutes the infant will spend in tummy time. And there's a high variability. You know, some of them did even practice more than like 15 minutes. But you can see that the main group is around the area of 3 to 5 minutes per time. Okay. So we also asked about the information. Where did they receive the information when the infant is asleep? So, first of all, 84% receive information, and that's good. That's actually supporting the Back to Sleep campaign. And the main information sources, they repeat themselves. Pediatrician, the RN in the mother-child unit, and the internet. Information about awake time is a little disappointing. We can see that only 26 actually received any information about awake time. And the sources would be the pediatrician and, again, the nurse. I'll move on to the providers. And what we did is we actually taped the focus group and we transcribed and then we actually identified several main themes that came up during this focus group. The themes were actually around practices with confusion regarding any guidelines. Everybody said that they are following the AAP guidelines, but actually they didn't know what they were. They began counseling from 2 to 3 months. You know, there's all kinds of numbers. The counseling was non-formal and random, and I can read you some citations I have from what one of the participants said. I think we do a lot more education about back to sleep as opposed to tummy time. Tummy time is more of an informal conversation we have with families during times of visit, but not necessarily any formalized process. Another quote is, I have a conversation, but I don't have any structure. So the range of minutes, you can see there's a variability, the same as the mother showed in their reply, and then a few times per day, and there was no, like, any even general guideline. Provider did express fear because they were much more, and it's understandable, much more focused to the Back to Sleep campaign. And if we talk about fear and the time limit, they have mainly barely 10 minutes for a health visit, because that's the time to talk about tummy time. They expressed that, you know, since this actually could be, you know, a lawsuit case, they definitely will emphasize all the time they have on tummy time. They said, at our office, it's just 10 minutes for a physical, so we really don't have a lot of time to go over this. If it's abnormal, then I spend more time. They did talk about the parents who identified some barriers. You know, the parents had fear themselves because they were so focused on placing the infant on the back. They were confused. There is also cultural issues involved, and we heard about culture before. And when the baby is frustrated, nobody's going to practice tummy time. Looking at the websites, first of all, we looked at several official websites, CDC, NICHDH, and AAP. So this is from the CDC. You can see there is emphasis on the importance of tummy time, but nothing more than that. On this side, we can see, again, there is emphasis on the importance, a little more explanation, and a little more guidelines of how to practice tummy time. And updated in June 08, just this summer, spring summer, the AAP did update a wonderful brochure, and actually there's more guidelines about tummy time, 2 to 3 times a day, and the time frame. The only issue is very hard to find the brochure. It comes up in searches, but when you go to the AAP website, it's problematic to find, and when you look at any guidelines to healthcare professionals, there's none. Searching a parental website did show a lot of variability. You go, you can just look at the different recommendations from 3 to 6 months or the range of time. But all the sites did emphasize the importance, and some sites did give some tips to parents how to actually extend tummy time, but very confusing. Okay, so just conclusions and recommendations. So this research has shown that there are, the research in the past has shown that there are, you know, changes in development and head skull deformities since the implementation of backless sleep campaign. And support from preliminary numbers from our research supported, we can see that you know, information is very low, 55% at birth and 26% of 2 months placing the infant while the infant is awake. So this is just a summary since I have like 2 minutes. You can see that placement of tummy time 1 to 3 times, 3 to 5 minutes. When the infant is 2 months old, we can see that 71% actually put their infants 2 times or less on their tummy, and 78% of the infants were in tummy time for 10 minutes or less. And placing the infant in supine position was the most common one. And as you see, we had like some barriers stated, the fear, the time, constrictions, and confusions about any guidelines. So our recommendations are that, you know, previous research and the outcome of this study suggests that with the implementation of back to sleep campaign and guidelines, there was a need and there is still a need for parental education about positioning infants during sleep and awake time, especially awake time. Current guidelines for parents are inconsistent, and therefore guidelines should be clarified and given to practitioners to emphasize the importance of tummy time along with the back to sleep recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our final presentation, which we'll let start loading here,